from time to time when I'm on the internet, you know, I will click on a link and it will just go and nothing will happen. Is there anything I can do, or I basically just have to give up to actually get in to that link?
There are several things you can try. I have found, you use JAWS, and I found JAWS is particularly finicky about website links lately. I try any of the following, and sometimes they work. You can try using your context menu key and try to find the open option and then hit on that. You can route JAWS to PC and then hit your left mouse button and see if that works. Or sometimes if you're on the link, if you hit the space bar, sometimes that selects it and then you can hit enter and it will open. And sometimes you're dead in the water.
You talked about a couple of different problems here. You talked about, first problem is that sometimes you can't focus on the link with the screen reader. Other times you can't activate the link. When you say that, you get nothing. What's happening there is that JAWS is not technically focused on the link itself. A couple of things you could do there. You could, instead of just down arrowing, up arrowing to the link, tab to it or shift tab to it. If that doesn't work, try the list of links. That will actually get you to the link itself. The other issue you're having is where you're getting a like it wants to actually do something, but it does do nothing. That's when you actually focus on the link, but you're not actually getting the result you want. That could be a whole host of different issues there. That could be Some links actually run scripts. Could be a scripting issue on a page. Could be a browser security setting. Could be a pop-up block. There's a lot of things that could be in it. And really, sometimes you have to take that case by case. Yeah.
And in a lot of those cases, if a person clicks that link with a mouse, it works fine.
That's
and
right.
And at least before that is that that script is looking for a mouse click event. There's actually a little bit of programming involved with some of those. Yeah. And the reason for that is that link, when you put the mouse over, it activates a mouse over event and actually change that link to being active. Sometimes even, you know, visually changes it as well.
I sort of have a tangent to that because I actually discovered this at Bank of America. They changed their website in a way. And you used to be able to click on a link and it would bring up like an interior form field that you could fill in information. It was to print out checks, front and back checks, and or to enter a description. I used it for years, and all of a sudden I couldn't find that information. I knew I was hitting the link, and I was talking to them on the phone. I verified that a box actually does appear when you click the link, but JAWS can't find it. Does anybody have any suggestions on the form field is there, but you can't get it by hitting F or edit or using the links of form fields or anything? It must be like a dynamic feature of some sort.
Occasionally, it's even JAWS itself. I've seen cases where I unload JAWS, load up system access, and all of a sudden that controls there.
Once I try jump through all the usual hoops, I then unload JAWS and try another screen reader, which, you know, is...
Well, another thing I'll do now and then, too, is also
Firefox.
Try a different browser. Web browser and try Firefox.
I'm finding the internet, in general, more and more frustrating.
My understanding was that Windows XP is no longer going to be supported. What are the implications if you have Windows XP?
That means there are no more security updates. There's no updating of all of any of the components.
Are you forced to change?
Well, if you want to keep your computer secure and so forth, yes, you really should change. You know, you should upgrade. And if you, people probably vary in this room as to whether they recommend Windows 8. You certainly should think of at least upgrading to Windows 7.
If you have an older computer and all you do is check your email and maybe a couple of other things on it, you can probably continue to use Windows XP for a long, long time until that computer dies. My desktop computer is an old one. I'm not going to try to put Windows 7 on that thing. I'm just going to leave it as it
is. Right, no, you're right. If all you do is email, you're fine.
Yeah.
But I think if you're on the net, I think it gets dangerous if you're on the net.
How long will Windows 7 be available?
It's starting to get rare now.
It's getting harder to get now.
But isn't 7 easier for those of us who are visually impaired?
Well, if you use Zoom text, it's definitely easier.
Yeah.
I don't think Zoom text ready for 8 yet.
I think the screen reading access for Windows 8 is getting better. I prefer 7. I prefer the interface of 7. That's a personal preference. But, I mean, Windows 8 is usable if you have to use it.
Quickly, how is 8 different than Windows 7?
It has has a lot of tiles. And, for example, you know, when you go in Windows 7 and there's a search box and you type in something, the search box is gone, so now you type in that area, and it displays things quite differently. And there's no more start. The start menu as you knew it is no longer.
I know that Windows 8 in general is getting really bad reviews.
Yeah. I mean, not just from blind people. Right. I know sighted people that have put on Windows 8 and took it right off. Yeah. Because they don't like it, and as I say, they're tiles. So, for example, in Windows 7, you know, everything's nicely laid out in rows and columns. Well, sometimes in Windows 8, there can be two columns here and five columns there, and it's not at all uniform. And that's one of the problems.
Which brings up a question I have for Windows 8. In Windows Explorer, has anyone found the means of coming up with a list view?
No, and I wish I could, because I had somebody I was working with the other day, and we could not figure it out.
I don't think there is one.
I don't think there is. Let me put it to you this way. If I was going to go to Windows 8, I'd want to have a computer with Windows 8 and another computer I could get my work done on quickly.
Yeah, I see lots of computers are on sale with Windows 7 that are relatively inexpensive.
Desktops in particular have really come down in price. As a blind user, if you're using a screen reader, you definitely will want to make sure that whatever computer you buy has enough memory. So some of the computers that I've seen advertised don't have enough memory. You know, so you really want to make sure that it either has enough memory or you can add memory.
I'm curious to know what do folks consider enough? I always think 4 gigabytes is plenty, but...
You know, what I noticed, I mean, when I got my desktop, I said, let's go to Extreme, and I got 24 GB RAM, okay? And it doesn't crash as often, because memory is the first thing which really... kills your app, or it doesn't work, or something is in conflict. You know, because once it starts using the virtual memory without notifying you, that causes trouble. You know? So just get the maximum RAM, but for laptops, usually it's a limitation. So even laptops, you just get it, if you can add 4 gigs or 2 gigs, even that's useful enough.
I'd say minimum of 4 gigs. It depends also on who you are and what kind of a user you are. If you're somebody who uses one or two applications at a time, 4 gigs is going to be sufficient. If you're somebody who uses a lot of different windows, for example, on my work computer, I had to have a lot more memory because I have 10 windows open at a time routinely and sometimes 12 to 15.
It also depends on what operating system, because obviously if you're on EXP, you can't, 4 megs, it won't even see all 4 megs.
Right, you won't see it, that's right.
If I could go back to the XP support question, it really depends what support plan you're on. If you're on the highest one, the last drop dead date is going to be a year from now. If you're on what almost everyone else is on, then I believe that it's about now that they're dropping. However, if you want to push it as far as you can, which is something that I want to do, if you're using Service Pack 3, one of the features that Microsoft added in Service Pack 3 is that it will call into Microsoft every few weeks and ask permission to still be correct, to still work. So after a year from now, Microsoft might decide not to allow XP to run.
That has never happened with earlier versions, though, right?
But lots of things have never happened with earlier versions.
Right. I mean, the technology was never in the operating systems to do it, but I don't think I can't see what the marketing advantage of to do that would be.
Microsoft is really pushing people to upgrade, because if you look at the dollars are going to mobile platforms. Yeah. The dollars are not going to... That's why I think Microsoft has gone with their Office products to this new model where you pay money. You don't get a boxed product anymore. You pay money and you download, you know, every year you download new versions.
Sales of Windows-based computers down something like 12% in the last quarter.
Yeah, it's way down. Yeah. I got JAWS at work, I've got JAWS at home. And once it's at home, a number of times at work, it tells me I'm on 20-minute practice mode. So I have to shut down my computer, turn it back on, get out of practice.
Demo mode.
And yet, when you turn it on initially,
it's on JAWS 14 like it's supposed to.
But if you go into your help menu under JAWS and hit About, it will say it's got a locking code and everything. Go to your JAWS window, do an Alt-H, hit an A for About, and read that dialogue. And it should say serial number, blah, 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 locking code, license, upgrades remaining, all of that.
But what version of Windows is this you're talking about?
7.
The earlier versions of Windows 7 before the Service Pack 1, it did have that problem. It was actually changing the hardware signature. Mm-hmm. And that was actually cured by... Windows update.
Does it always do this whenever you set JAWS, or is it just from time to time?
From time to time, but it's become more frequent.
I've had it sometimes say it's a demo mode, but it works fine
Well, I had that happen last month, actually, with our other computer, and I actually called Freedom Scientific because it said it was in demo mode. And this was running Windows XP, and they verified that it shouldn't be in demo mode. So one thing they did was reset my count of activations. Now, I don't know how that would make any difference, but they did. I haven't had the problem since. But you might want to just know what your count is. You know, like if you've updated JAWS, make sure that you do have license for that. You know, you do have a valid license. One of the complaints that I have about Freedom Scientific, and anybody who shares my complaint, feel free to complain. When they send you those little notices that tell you it's time to upgrade, they don't tell you what your serial number is. So if you have more than one copy of JAWS, which you're keeping track of, as I do, it's a pain in the ass because you don't know which one you're upgrading necessarily, which one it needs upgrading. Because, you know, I have, for me, I have my own copy and then I have Vibug's copy.
One issue I had was I'm running Windows 7 and I upgrade from 13 to 14 and it was a Windows 7 professional grade, so it would not and the JAWS was not for professional version. So it did install and then I tried to uninstall it and it would not uninstall now, you know. Every time I install a JAWS 13, go back to the earlier version, I cannot even go back to it now.
What you have to do in a case like that is
what do you do? I don't know.
That's what I was
You can reinstall 13 and then delete the JAWS.cps file out of the activation folder and then reauthorize JAWS 13.
Yeah.
I see. So look for .cps file.
JAWS.cps. Yeah.
Okay.
That's actually your authorization. Yeah.
Is anybody here having to use Microsoft Communicator?
Not this version, but I used earlier XP.
Oh, Microsoft Communicator is like an instant messaging program that's used in a lot of companies. And what it does is it allows you to see who's on and allows you to message or call your colleagues using this application. But JAWS 13, doesn't work perfectly with it, but I can manage it with a lot of JAWS cursor movement. If you install JAWS 14, they've made some changes in terms of their video drivers and video chaining. It doesn't work at all anymore. So, actually, once you make your changes to JAWS, once you install JAWS 14, not only does it not work with JAWS 14, it won't work with JAWS 13 anymore either. So the only thing you can do is go back, uninstall JAWS 14, reinstall JAWS 13, and then it will work again. And I actually called them and I got in touch with John Carson, who's like their lead programmer, and he didn't have an answer for it either. And it's really made it, it just means I can never go beyond JAWS 13, which is bad because there are other programs, such as my database program that runs in Windows and Internet Explorer, that works much better with 14 than it does with 13, but I can't migrate.
I brought back my computer from the hospital, and he had found viruses on it. What I had on it was the free Vista program, and he recommended Norton Utilities, which is not free, but is $39 a year.
So more importantly than that, it's not terribly accessible, and it's going to bog down your computer big time. It's going to slow everything down. What do other people use? I use Microsoft Security Essentials. Microsoft Security Essentials, Laura, is a free program, and I find it works fine for me. And it doesn't bog down your computer. It's totally accessible. I used to have Norton. I no longer do.
I distribute computers to deaf-blind people through the program I work for, and the first thing I do in setting up a computer is uninstall Norton and install Microsoft Security Essentials. I don't know, what does MCB use now, Frank?
Only Microsoft Security Essentials.
Yeah.
All those antivirus programs, they only deal with stuff that's always on your computer. The most important part is to keep it out in the first place. I mean, I always lock down every computer that goes out of MCB. Actually, now it's even official policy. Yeah.
What do you recommend for spyware, though?
So, I mean, we usually just Microsoft Security Essentials and Malwarebytes. Yeah, everything that we're talking about is dealing with it once it's on your computer. But no one really talks about preventing from getting on your computer in the first place.
Malwarebytes is used for spyware. Microsoft Security Essentials is antivirus. And
just to give you like a little example of what me and Joey talked about, my desktop computer at home, I don't even have an antivirus on it, and it's never had one. And the reason for that is because, you know, there's an old saying about the ounce of prevention and the pound of cure. All of these products we've been talking about, you know, whether it's Norton, McAfee, Superintendent Spyware, Malwarebytes, Microsoft Security Essentials, they're Security Essentials, they're the cure, they're not the prevention. Prevention is a whole series of things. A, it's good security on the computer to begin with, good practices, and a little bit of common sense built in there, too.
I get this pop-up on my Explorer recently that keeps asking me to disable add-ons. I just want to turn it off because, I've done over add-ons again and again and again. So
if you do Alt-N and I tab around, I think there's a button that says Yeah, just tap through that dialogue.
You hit Alt N, and then it'll bring up a dialogue, and you just tab around until you hear it says, "Don't ask me again," and there's a checkbox, I think, and you hit the space bar to select that checkbox, and then hit OK.